Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Hey, yes, welcome back to it. We do it thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. Manly have gone over already on the Central Coast. Try in the corner to Manly and they lead the Warriors 4-0 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. Just a couple of minutes gone there. And, of course, we're on air for all the finals here at Triple M. And one of the teams that will be Parramatta, they will be playing right this Saturday night against the Storm. We've got their coach on the line now, Brad Arthur. Welcome to the show, old mate.
Thanks, boys.
And as they say, Brad, congratulations, but once you finish in the top four, it all starts again.
Yeah, look, I'm extremely proud of the boys to you know, we had to fight pretty hard last night and all the pressure was on us. You know, like we knew that Cronulla had been beaten before us and we had to win that game to stay in the top four. So, and West Tigers had plenty to play for, and I thought they played a pretty expensive game. So I was pretty proud of our boys for, you know, in the situation after 20 minutes of the second half, they have to fight back, and, you know, I thought we'd done well.
What were you looking for from them last night, Brad?
I thought the last, well, a couple of weeks ago we decided that we weren't, you know, we'd sort of gone away from playing for each other, and we got back to that over the last 2 weeks, and we, you know, we wanted to push you know, that fact again last night, playing for each other, but also to play with plenty of confidence with the ball. And I thought we started extremely well with the ball. And then, you know, in the second half, we had no ball for 12, I think it was 12 sets to one to start the second half. But then when we got the opportunities and we only had five or six tackles at their try line in the second half, we iced those plays. So we haven't been doing that over the last couple of weeks. We'd lacked a fair bit of patience and our execution was poor.
What do you say to the playing group, Brad, about the challenge of coming up against Melbourne?
Oh, look, we should embrace it. We should be excited. You know, we had recovery this morning, and the boys are extremely excited. You know, to get another opportunity, because they really, if you want to, we want to be honest, they embarrassed us and bashed us and humiliated us last time we played them down at Melbourne. So. And it's not about payback, but it's more about, you know, a bit of respect and pride for ourselves.
They have been a bogey side for you, though, haven't they?
We kept playing them a couple of weeks ago and kept them in the middle. And I know they had quite a few of their stars out, but we can only go up against what's there. And I thought we'd done, you know, pretty well that night too. So, look, we're looking forward to the challenge. And like you said, it's a whole new competition now.
Coaches are noted warriors, Brad. So what's keeping you awake at night?
Oh, everything.
Generally the way it works.
Last night was a big occasion for us, and, you know, sort of been thinking about it all week, and, you know, the pressures of we'd been in the top four all year, and, you know, come down to really 80 minutes of football to see if we remained in the top four. You know, like, we were hoping Cronulla could do a favour for us. So the fact that we had to fight and come back under in a pressure situation and with 20 minutes to go, and we, you know, the Tigers had all the running, so look, I was pretty happy with that hit out for us moving into the final.
In hindsight, it was probably a good thing that the Sharks got beat, because it put a little bit of acid to your blokes and they responded.
Oh, 100%, Kenny. And, you know, I would have preferred it to be the other way at the start of the game, but, you know, we look back at it now that we, you know, that's the pressures that we get. We have struggled with in the past, and we had to aim up, and, you know, there was, I think it was about 6 or 7 minutes to go, we got the opportunity to take a shot of goal. And it was a tough kick. But I wanted to put the pressure on them to see if they could, you know, show a bit of patience and come up with the right play at the right time. And, you know, Will Smith come up with a nice try. But, you know, that's a big step forward for us there.
From a mentality point of view, that's a real step there, isn't it? Because I watched Penrith a couple of weeks back and they had a couple of opportunities when they were playing Brisbane, of all teams. And I thought they got a few penalties, and each time they actually took the conversion, which I thought, you know what, if I'm leading the competition and I'm coming up against a side that's struggling like Brisbane, I'm really going after the jugular. And the great teams of the past, the premiership winning teams of the past, that's what they do. So, and that was an indication of where your side's mind was at last night.
Yeah, and we got a couple of opportunities against the Broncos last week, and we opted not to take the shot at goal, and we didn't quite get those moments right. So it was only fair that I gave them an opportunity after we looked at it during the week to have another crack at it and get the opportunities right. And, you know, and hopefully that's going to be a good shot in our confidence for us.
Do you get Dylan Brown back for the finals, BA?
Oh, look, he's a chance. He's going to run on – oh, he's been doing a bit of training, but he's going to have a reasonable test on Tuesday, and we'll make a decision Tuesday. And if it's not this week, he'll be close to, you know, for our next game. So, look, he's a chance, and hopefully we'll name him on Tuesday and then see what happens when we get to Saturday.
The Mitchell Moses, mate, he's been in the news, and it's a funny thing because he seems a bit of a lightning rod for criticism whenever your team's not playing well. But how have you been nursing him through this?
Look, I think it goes with the territory of being a playmaker and a halfback and a player that earns good money. You know, I think there's added pressure. And with Mitchell, we've just been focusing on what he does really well, which is his kicking has been extremely good all year. The last couple of weeks, he's come up with a couple of poor options at the end of our sets. But, you know, if we have to do 20 kicks a game, he does 18 of them. So it's a fair responsibility. I thought his defence this year has been fantastic. And the last couple of weeks, he's got back to running the footy. You know, he probably focused on a bit too much of worrying about everyone else and steering the team around. It's just getting that balance right. But I think he's starting to get it.
It's been a very unusual year, Brad. What's the strategy for you both to get through the finals in the best shape you can? Obviously, you've got to keep winning. I understand that. But has things changed given the year we've had?
Yeah, look, it's been a tough year for everyone. But I think, you know, because of the restrictions and the way it's structured around the bubble, it's been good for us too. It's made us tighter, appreciate each other more, and you know, like they're sort of living with each other 24/7. So they've got to be prepared that not everything that everyone does they're going to agree with or like. But you know, we've got to, you know, get through, ride through the bumps, and get on with the job, and you know, and work together. And I think we're starting to show that as a team, especially over the last couple of weeks, of that playing for each other a bit more, and you know, and especially under a bit of pressure.
Okay, Brad, good to catch up, mate. Best of luck for the finals next weekend.
All right, thanks, boys. Appreciate
good,
it.
Good on you, mate. Brad Arthur joining us. And, yeah, just once again reminding you that Triple M will rock all the NRL finals. Friday night, Penrith Roosters. Saturday, Storm Para Raiders Sharks. Sunday, the mighty Rabbitohs up against the Knights. Triple M rocks the finals. Make sure you have the app. Now, talking a little bit about that game specifically from yesterday, Para 28, Tigers 24. I wonder, though, Hoops, if, you know, Brad Arthur says he's happy that they rallied from behind to come from behind. Would you not be a little bit concerned in a game like that they had to come from behind?
No, I think it's a decent sign for Parramatta that it'll have them battle-hardened and ready for, you know, what's a massive assignment. Like, the Melbourne Storm have been a bogey side for them for many years, and the fact that they've got to go up to Queensland, take on Melbourne in what will be a home semi-final for the Storm, it's a huge task. So you want to go into that type of a challenge battle-hardened, and the fact that they had to fight for it and come from behind, I think is a good sign.
And the way the game's played these days, that happens sometimes. And you do... A team will get a glut of possession. They'll have a lot of momentum, repeat sets, and it's tough to defend. The game's very tough when you're getting repeat sets. The new six again rules made it even tougher in that respect. So occasionally you do fall behind. What you look for from your team is how they respond. And I think Parramatta, they did respond last night. I hadn't seen them respond every instance this happens to them, but certainly last night they did.
Okay.
Not often they can win on the back foot, Parramatta. They've always been, you know, touted as sort of front runners. So Mitchell Moses playing that real direct, you know, the team comes first type of footy will actually help them in a bigger clash when they do get in that arm wrestle, because all the natural stuff when he wants to run the ball, like that'll come natural to him because he's done it all of his life. The stuff that doesn't come natural to him, and you see the way Andrew and Brad have been working with him, that he's going to be better in a big game. Mm. You know, because Gutho the other week, like he run through some gaping holes for try, so everybody around him is getting a little bit better.
Okay, before we finish off on Parramatta and have a look at the Tigers for the final time this year, what about, you know, when you, like, Parramatta now, the whole thing is around how long it's been since they've won a premiership, since 1986. And at that time, Paul, we would have thought Parramatta's never going to stop winning premierships. They were such a powerful club at the time.
Yeah, they went close. They've had a couple of grand finals since. Mm. So they've gone close. But they're a side that, look, Parramatta lost its way in the after 86, essentially. The club moved to this recruitment policy where they believed that they had so many good juniors coming through that they recruited from within. They didn't get out into market much. It was a way to save the club money, but it was also trying to recognise the great young talent. Because if you remember that golden era of the 80s, Eric Groth, Steve Eller, Neil Hunt, Brett Kenny,
Ray Price.
Ray, not Price, but all that, they're all juniors. They're all Parramatta juniors. Yeah, they'd all come through this junior system. And Parramatta were regarded as having the best junior nursery in the competition at the time. And so Dennis Fitzgerald, who's the secretary at the time, he had this belief that we can save money here by recruiting from within. And it really took 10 years to figure out that was a mistake. And out of that, what ended up happening was Super League allowed Parramatta to get back in the game when those four players left the Super League competition, went over back to the ARL, and they joined the Eels. It is unusual that Parramatta have gone this long without a premiership. I think they've also had some, obviously the Brian Smith era, I think, was strong, and they had they lost the unlosable grand final. They really should have nailed that one home. But having said that, they have also lost their way as far as the way the club's been run for so many years, and that's just filtered down and why there's such a hole now. As 86 is the longest any team's been without a premiership.
Hmm. It's interesting you mentioned that
currently
2001 grand final, Kenty. I remember as a young bloke going to that grand final breakfast, and Parramatta had been the best side far and away all season, broken all sorts of records, and were a hell of a team. And you walked into that grand final breakfast, and the Newcastle blokes, I saw Andrew Johns, I think he threw a bread roll at Danny Badiris, and was laughing and pretty lucid and a little bit of banter, and they looked relaxed. And the Eels looked as stiff and uptight as all get out.
Yeah, that was the year that Brian Smith took him down to Wollongong and had him throwing frisbees on the beach to try and relax them, which was just so far out of their normal routine, it really bit him on the backside, to be honest, but I remember talking to Danny Badiris about that, being at that grand final breakfast, and when they're waiting outside to get introduced to the crowd, they're lined up next to each other, and it's a bit awkward because they're about to go into battle for a grand final. And after that, because they were waiting there for so long, a bit of a nod at each other, "How you going?" "Yeah, good." "How's your week been?" "Oh, yeah." And one of the Parramatta blokes goes, "Mate, can't wait for it to be over."
Right.
And all the nights thought, "What? Mate, this is the best week of our lives, and you blokes want it to be over." And that's when the Knights walked away and thought, you know what, these blokes are cooked. We're a big chance here. Because Parramatta, until that point, had put together the greatest season in NRL history as far as wins, points for and against and all that. It was just a phenomenal year. All they had to do was just to ice it with the grand final. Let's remember, I think it was 24-0 at half time that they were down.
Yeah.
Yes. And they came back, though, it was a 30-26. Like, they nearly did it. They nearly did the impossible. Yeah. But because they were so tight and they started so nervously, they allowed the Knights to just jump away and get them. And yeah, I just think Parramatta, there's a lot of pressure on Parramatta. I don't think clubs quite realise how tough it can be to be out at Parramatta, because they are. I remember we used to drive down to training with John Mooney. He'd always finish training, he'd have a stack of notes under his windscreen wipers on his car. "Mate, put this bloke at hooker and do this and do that."
From punters.
"Why you keep..." Yeah, from punters, just left it there. But there's also a lot of pressure. If Parramatta lost the game, then Monday, the sick days at Parramatta in the Parramatta district on the Monday, they just skyrocketed because that's the way people work. So, it's a lot of pressure on the club.
Yeah, and pressure's harder. Like, Newcastle to be massive underdogs, you always want to be the underdog. You always want to be the underdog. And Parramatta that year, they actually did fold. I think they were the best side by so far. It's just one of those things that get away. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's the hardest thing to deal with, is when you're good and you know that you should win.
Yeah, I'll tell you another
thing. That's harder pressure.
There was a point during the game where Jason Taylor kicked downfield, and as they were running down to get the ball, the Parramatta players were sort of urging the ball to go out. And the Knights, again early, were listening to the Parramatta players and hearing what they were saying. They thought, it's clearly in their game plan for the ball to go into touch and slow the game down. And the fact that it's not going into touch shows you the pressure that they're all under. So this is already early in the game, which just made the Knights grow even more. Mm. And again, it just wound the screws down on the Eels. And it wasn't until the game was lost that they finally basically conceded, well, you know, with the game's lost, let's just relax. And that's when they came back and nearly stole it.
Yeah.
Ben Kennedy and Andrew Johns. Mm, brilliant.
Yeah, Joey had a great game, didn't he?
I'll tell you what, Maroon, I'm worried that the Warriors have got one foot on the plane home.
Really? Yeah, but I think they've just gone over, haven't they?
They've just... Yeah. We're going to the video replay now. It looks like that's just 10. That'll make it 10-4.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just, I don't want to keep going back to this, but I've got to ask you, Paul, before we go to the Tigers. You talked about the strength of Parramatta back in the 80s and promoting from within. And remember those days we used to have the third grade, the second grade, and the first grade, and we used to have the club championship.
Yep.
And Parramatta would constantly have three teams in the grand final or three teams winning the minor premiership.
Nearly always. And you could almost guarantee that Parramatta, remember Peter Louis, before he became the first grade coach at North Sydney, he coached lower grades under John Mooney at Parramatta and won premierships there. John Mooney coached under Jack Gibson in the 80s. And there was a period there, I think it was 6 or 7 years in a row, that Parramatta won the club championship because they were just so strong and dominant in that area. And also I think what also helped was I think back then was the 13 import rule. That was in the early 80s. That was the way it worked. So you could only have 13 players from outside your district come to your whole club. So that put more emphasis on growing your own juniors. Parramatta was just a great junior nursery. It still is. It still is. But the misnomer now about junior nurseries, and people often say this about the Broncos, they've got more advantage than anybody. They've got the biggest junior nursery in Australia because they've got basically Queensland. But the fact is there's nothing stopping Parramatta's recruitment bloke getting on a plane to Brisbane and going to a schoolboy carnival in Brisbane or Gladstone or Rockhampton or Toowoomba and picking the best players there if he so wants.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of a misnomer now. The whole junior, all it allows you to do is have first crack.
Yeah.
You get first crack at identifying the talent and signing the talent, and then you get to pick which ones you want to keep. And this is what Penrith are doing now. They've done a magnificent job of really streamlining their junior pathways so the best players come through. They identify the best players. And as Ivan Cleary is about to see, he's now going to have the choice of which ones he wants to keep and which ones he has to let go.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. 10-all now, Warriors and Manly. 10-all, Warriors, Manly, that for tie power. But the poor old Tigers, Hoops, you're a Tigers man. We love the Tigers. And they have not finished ninth this year, as per usual. They've finished 10th. In the fair dinkum department, seeing two wonderful, wonderful Tigers legends bow out. But it's just not a lot more than that I think we can take out of this year for the Tigers.
Oh, look, firstly, you got to celebrate and say thank you to Benji Marshall and Chris Lawrence. You know, they've both been superb players for that club over a long period of time. Everybody remembers Benji from that 2005 grand final, and he just was in a rich vein of form and played absolutely superbly. He came up, everybody remembers the flick pass to Pat Richards, but it was actually the entire season that Benji Marshall was a young gun on the rise, and it was brilliant to watch. Chris Lawrence wasn't part of that particular side, but came into the team when he was still a schoolboy. Tim Sheens debuted him, and is another player who's amassed more than 250 games for the club. You talk about local juniors, he's a Magpies junior.
Yep.
And it's sad that those two had to go out on the note that they did, which is another season for the Tigers of failure. And mediocrity has crept into that club and been allowed to manifest ever since Tim Sheens was sacked. Mm. They've speared coach after coach. The Ivan Cleary experiment ended up being a debacle because he told everybody to get on the bus and then jumped off himself. And the new coach in Michael Maguire is now trying to fix the wrongs, some of the wrongs in terms of the contracts that were handed out. So it's a tough period for the club.
I tell you what, to watch this space for the Tigers.
Yeah.
And because we all know what Michael Maguire can do. We've all seen what he can do. But playing groups are temperamental groups. And if you pull the wrong string at the wrong time and just read the room wrong one day, it can shift on you. And Michael Maguire is a tough coach who talks tough to the players and expects toughness from them. And they've not all got it.
Mm.
But if the ones that haven't got it, I've got the ear of a few others in that dressing room, then it can cause you a problem. He's going to have to manage it. I know he's got a reputation as a bullish coach that goes in and does it his way, and it's my way or the highway. And I think the Tigers need a bit of that. But there's also still enough of a soft underbelly there that if he upsets them, they'll have the numbers to go against him.
All right. This is, of course, the number one choice of NRL shows for Madge, so he's listening right now. Hello, Madgie. Have a great off-season. It's Warriors 12, Manly 10 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. Paul Kent. Oh, they've just gone in again, the Warriors.
They've just scored two quick tries, yeah, and they're now in front.
16-10.
They jumped back off the plane.
Warriors. They parachuted out of the plane. Warriors 16, Manly 10. Right.
They've lost their luggage.
Paul Kent, James Triceps Hooper. And so too, the great Gordon Tallis. Maroon is my name. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to get some news off our man. The Mr. Whippy Van's pulled up. Two Scoops Hoops is going to tell us what's going on in the NRL as Triple M rocks thy semi-finals.
Sunday Sinbin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Well, as we come back, the Warriors look like they've gone over again in the corner. So this would be now 20-10 if the try is awarded. Warriors 20, it is awarded. Warriors 20, lead Manly 10. That score is thanks to Tyre Power. Time to get some NRL news with our old mate James Triceps Hooper. And by geez, I hate to bring it up, but you have been doing some serious dips at the park there, that Wentworth Park on that council machinery, because your dips, mate, fair dinkum, you are, oh, they are the greatest triceps I've ever, you are a triceratops.
I'm glad you raised it.
You are a triceratops.
I'm glad you raised it, Anthony, because you just reminded me of a story where you picked myself and Paul up last week, and as we were driving along, he says, I'm going to stop and grab those steps on the side of the road on the way back. And I thought he was joking, Gordon, right? Mm. Fair dinkum. So he picks Kenny up. We come out of his joint. Then he goes flying over onto the other side of the road, pulls his car up, jumps out of the Camaro, picks up these Reebok steps and
from
puts
the 90s.
Them in the boot.
Yeah. They're great, mate.
Because you do like, little step-ups.
Yeah, because you can do cardio. You blokes don't do cardio. You do bicep curls and then back.
The secret of your magnificent cars.
Exactly, mate. That is exactly right. That's why.
You, mate, you need better cars when you wear high heels.
Mate, oh, mate. You only see them in 6 inches.
Mate,
what size are you going to get?
My buttocks, like,
and what
firm.
CCs are they?
I'm not going to get a sex change, mate, because I'd never said it. You just heard the real audio. Let it go, Gordon.
You said you were going to get breast
finally,
implants.
Finally, Hoops said.
And then with Joy Arrow come mate, on, you said, I won't only get breast implants, I'll get a sex
change. Mate, and then I
but
said, no, I won't.
For 2 hours of
no,
the
I
show,
no,
you, were
I
getting,
no,
mate,
I won't.
You were getting breast implants.
I noticed you.
Well, just change your name. You know, can you just change your name for one full show? To Antoinette.
No, I can't
like.
Because I'm a man of my word.
I like Divine Maroon.
I've got emails coming in here. I've got tweets coming in. People were sick and hear about this sex change. I've got one here from Sue
Where's
Ellen.
That from? Oh, not Bruno.
Sue Ellen
Bay again.
Mishke in Galston says, mate, you're a beautiful man, Maroon. You wouldn't make a good-looking woman. I hope you guys are on for Origin.
I got one from Esme.
I don't think you do.
Warrior.
You're making Esme Warrior. What is Esme
Warrior Elder?
Listening through Triple M Warrior
Elder.
She's
asking for if we could actually put up on the website a picture of your calves.
Oh, yeah, no
worries.
Because she's
heard so much about them. And you have shaved them down.
Yeah.
So you are very kind.
And Esme, you want to see my buttock. You could, fair dinkum, mould a horseshoe on them. You could shape a horseshoe on them. They are like steel.
You could
steel.
Crack an egg on it.
You could crack something on it. I don't know what. Now, what's going on? Now, see, this is a smother here because Hoops hasn't done his homework, doesn't have any news.
There's no smother at all, mate.
All right. NRL puts an end to Mad Monday.
Yeah, well, it's sad, isn't it?
That was always going to happen.
Yeah, it was, given these conditions. But Peter Volandis is in the newspapers today just reminding everybody of their responsibilities. And now, obviously, it's been a really challenging season. Every team involved in a bubble scenario. Unlike you, Anthony, not cutting shapes, blowing bubbles and looking at your eyelids out the front of Sugar Roof. And as a result of that, the players have been reminded that they just need to try and be vigilant when they're having a beer and letting their hair down at the end of the season.
Yeah, look, I'm not a fan of Mad Monday. I think it's had its use by date. I get the concept of it, but Mad Monday grew out of an era where players would work jobs, play with each other for 6 months, shake hands after the last game, let's go and have a beer together tomorrow to celebrate the year, and then we'll see you in 3 months' time when we start pre-season training again. They're now full-time professionals. They have a six-week holiday, that's it, and they're with each other all day, every day. The big drink, and people say to me, oh, mate, listen, they've been playing footy for 6 months, they're told to go and have a drink. Have you ever seen a team, after they play Friday night, they don't go home.
Mm.
Half the team's out.
Yeah, right.
It's not like they're abstaining for 6 months. And the whole dressing up bit, while it's a novelty, it causes embarrassment to the game. And it's not that hard to sacrifice. Go out, have a beer, enjoy yourself, and just don't be a mug. It's not that. I'll tell you a story, okay? This is what I like, why I don't like Mad Monday. A few years ago, a player got in trouble at a pub, knocked a bloke out. Coppers got called. He took off. Anyway, coppers turn up, look at the bloke, look at the CCTV from in the joint, watch the where he walked out, the direction he walked in. They walked out. They walked up to another pub, and they went up and they said, "Mate, you need to come and have a chat to us." He said, "How do you know it was me?" They said, "Mate, you're the only bloke wearing a Fred Flintstone suit." It's a true story. It's just not necessary.
Exactly.
Look, I differ, yeah. Like, there's Christmas parties, there's, you know, we work, Paul, and we want to go out and have a beer at the end of our show, and that's with Maddie Fletch, because we don't spend that much time together, and I know that we work together, but you know what, but yes, the dressing up, yes, the playing up, like the bad behaviour, no, we don't like that, and come down hard, but the guys getting together and having a beer and celebrating a year, or just, it's their last sort of thing before you see each other for 6 months.
I've got no problem with having a beer. I just think the whole dress up and the whole...
Yeah, the dress up, yeah, I get that.
But it's overcooked, Gordy, is the other thing. They don't just go and have a responsible beer like you and Fletch and that do, or even most people at the Christmas party. If most of us would be sacked from our jobs if the same carry-on happened at our Christmas parties. Yeah. That's the reality of it. They just get overcooked. They need someone there saying, "Guys, you can have a beer and all sit down in your chair and just enjoy each other's company," rather than, and this is where they get into trouble, one bloke does something, they all get a laugh, so that someone else is then going to go one step further, and they'll get a laugh, and someone will get another one. So suddenly by the time you get the eighth bloke who's one-upped everybody, doing whatever he's done, and you're reading about that in the paper the next day, and you're thinking, how the hell did they get to there? But that's how they get there.
Yeah.
It goes up in increments.
Yep.
20 years ago, we used to take an ex-policeman with us, and then I'd walk up to every bouncer and say, "Listen, if there's a problem, come and see me, because I'll kick the boys out myself." And the policeman was there, for one, to protect us, but to make sure that everybody around us didn't annoy the boys or get under their skin.
Yeah.
Because we're only going to harm each other, right? So, you know, that's, and then we'd go on a trip away, and that's what would happen. But I get that now, that we're different and we're a dinosaur and we don't like, you
but
know,
God,
we don't
that's
know
actually
what
responsible
like
back then.
But that's what we did 20 years ago.
Whereas that doesn't happen now.
Take a security guard with you. And you get a yellow card and you get a red card and you go home, and if you go back out, it's a $50,000 fine. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be that hard, but yeah. Okay, let's move on. Two scoops. Dragons, I believe Jacob Host is heading to the Rabbitohs, but more importantly, Tristan Saylor has been let go by the Dragons.
Yeah, I believe his old man, who's obviously a great ambassador for Triple M and one of our favourite people, Wendell Saylor. I think he's had a couple of things to say about the fact that Tristan's career at St. George Illawarra has come to an end. Look, Tristan's got all the talent in the world, and I think that he would be a valuable pickup for the right club. Okay. So,
what club do you think, mate?
I'm not sure where he'll end up. I know he was pretty close to going to the West Tigers earlier in the year, and then that fell over. So, for whatever reason, at the 11th hour. So, I wouldn't be surprised. He'll find somewhere.
Okay, and of course, Wendell is now listening to us on the F6 coming up from Wollongong in a car that he has obviously scammed from some car dealer in Wollongong. Nice.
Take that. Hang on. He's a dual international, and you're accusing him of scamming cars.
Oh, I'm not accusing him, but I'm telling you that he scams cars. I'm not accusing of anything. All right?
Yeah. Is there no mirrors at your house?
Mate,
you're the king of cash. Look,
see,
you're the Redfern Rocker.
Remember, you've got 5 weeks of this nonsense left. And not only that, mate, you're like my wife. You'll back anyone but me. And you rung my house yesterday.
Christine.
Yeah, that's right. I'm on my own. Through all this nonsense about having a sex change, I got a text message from my son who says, "I'm changing your name in the phone from dad to mum." And that's what I said. I have had enough of this. I have had enough of this nonsense.
Mama.
What about, don't tell me Brycey Cartwright could end up at the Roosters.
Yeah, I know. I must say that one caught me by surprise out of left field. Look, I'd be surprised. The Roosters, Trent Robinson likes to personally screen test every player that he brings into the club. And I'm not saying that Bryce hasn't still got something that he can offer at NRL level, but I would be surprised if the Roosters decided to sign a player who's obviously been in the headlines a lot this season for his political views and whatnot. I'd be surprised if the Chooks wanted to go down that road.
Yeah, I'll tell you too, if the Roosters don't sign him, that's really the due diligence done for other clubs as well. I don't know if another club, if you'd be interested after you know the Roosters have turned their back on it, because Roosters do have, I think it's a solid effort from the Roosters. They have they're creating a habit, Trent Robinson, as they did with Josh Morris earlier this year. Josh was earlier this year. Yeah, just going in and taking these little left field decisions and signing blokes up. And Bryce Cartwright sort of fits that mold, but you know if the Roosters do get him, that he's in the right space to actually go and do what he needs to do. Mm. If they don't get him, then he's not there. And then if you're another club, you'd say, well, mate, if the Roosters don't want him, there's a reason. Maybe we should just steer clear as well. So it's going to be interesting because I tell you what, he's had a very troubling career, poor old Bryce. It really hasn't aimed up.
Okay, the Warriors now lead Manly 26-10. And as I speak, I think the Warriors are about to go in again. Now the ball's been dropped. Has it? No, it hasn't. And this might be another try. But anyhow, right now, Warriors 26, Manly 10. Is there anything else we need to talk about? What about this eye gouge allegation? We touched on it earlier, but this came out of nowhere. And then I don't know if you noticed, Hoops, but at the end of the game, I saw Luke Thompson head over to Tamo and they discussed it.
Right. All matters pertinent to rugby league, Anthony. That's what we always discuss on this program. He's been charged, hasn't he,
yep.
Luke Thompson? Mm-hmm. So you'd have to think, given the vision that has surfaced, right, he's been referred straight to the judiciary. You'd have to think, given the vision that has surfaced, that he's going to be looking at some time on the sidelines.
And finally,
it's an unwanted end to his cameo in the NRL this season.
Okay, can I go with this one as the final one? The glamour couple of the NRL, the Brad and Angelina of the NRL, the great Gavin and Casey Badger, and Gavi Badger, he's unwanted.
The Badge, he's decided that his time as an NRL whistleblower is over. He's off contract, and the referees at the NRL have decided that they're not going to retain the Badge. So, look, I'm sure that he'll go back. And I heard him interviewed on radio over the course of the last couple of days. And I'm sure that he'll still remain involved in the game. And he's obviously made a big contribution over the years as a match official. And he was always well respected and highly popular. So, I'm sure he'll jag another gig somewhere else.
It's disappointing.
Yeah, mate, I think it is too. I played in his debut game. Remember when Carl Webb scores a try and pushes him over? I think that was the Badge's first ever game. And what, over, I don't know, 300 or 400 games, and he is well liked. I think from the players, like, trust me, I hated him. But no. I actually liked him because, mate, because you know what? Because he just wanted to be part of the game, and I think the Badge knew that the game was the star. He just never wanted to be the star. He wanted the players. He was just so happy. Like, you know, you can just tell that someone's so happy to be involved in the game. That was him, and you sense that he just loved it and loved being out there. So, I'm a bit disappointed that I'm not going to see the Badge going around.
Yeah.
He's super fit, and there's no doubt he's got a spot somewhere.
Yeah, I'm starting. Somewhere. I've started up the hashtag. You may have seen it on socials. Hashtag save the Badger. But leave it. Let's leave it there because we've got to have a break. We're going to come back.
I thought you were trying to lose the Badger.
And I was going to say, no. It's hashtag save the Badger. Warriors 26, Manly 10. 5 left in the first half. That's Paul Kent, Triceps Hooper, Gordy Tallis and Maroon will come back with the most popular award-winning show that's gone viral, gone bunter on social media, Maroon's Pub Quiz.
Sunday Sinbin.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Okay, Warriors 26, Manly 10 as we speak. Manly now down the sideline and they might score here, Manly, and just make it 26-14 going into halftime. That might be Avis Miski, I think. It's been a very entertaining first half. Warriors 26 and Manly have gone over. They've awarded it Manly 14. Time for this.
Welcome to Maroon's Trivia Night.
Well, what an exciting opportunity this is. We've got Maroon's Pub Quiz. Thank you so much to people listening right around the world who can't go to their local for an ale and a little bit of trivia. The prizes today, Paul Kent is playing for $15 to spend in the Triple M vending machine. That's a salt and vinegar chips, Coke Zero, a Twix, the pick and mix, the bag of snakes.
Chomp.
Oh, he could get a chomp. Oh, mate, he could come away with a feast. In fact, Paul, we're on a limited budget, so if you don't win it today, we might have to put a ceiling on it, all right?
The answer follow me home. Yeah, thank
you. All right, here we go. Here we go. Your name is your buzzer. We're in a hurry here. So
is there a theme?
No, it's just general knowledge.
Okay.
General You've just knowledge. Lobbed into your local and it's general knowledge, righto? Here we go. Your name is your buzzer. Question number one. This year, New Year's Eve this year falls on what day? New Year's Eve this year falls on what day of the week? And five.
Paul, Friday. Yes.
Friday is wrong. Paul is on minus one. Well, you know better than that, Paul. To take a guess. Question number two. Your name is your buzzer. Who directed the 1995 film Casino?
Hoops.
Yes.
Not Martin Scorsese.
Oh, here he goes. Hoopus. Hoopus is going to win something in his first time in his life since he got that pendant in the under sevens at the Leichhardt Wanderers.
Aye.
All right. Question number three. In what Aussie state is the Herbert River Museum?
Gordy.
Yes, Gordy.
Queensland.
One all. Hoops, Gordy. Paul, minus one. The next question. The Raiders last won a premiership in what year?
Hoops. Gordy.
Hoops.
89.
89 is wrong.
44. 94.
Oh, no. What a palooka. Honestly, mate.
What a loser.
Honestly.
And they've been the signing support.
Fair Enjoy dinker. That, Maroon.
Mate, I don't know how you hold down a job at Fox.
They won two after 89.
Yeah, honestly, mate.
Oh, God.
All right, here we go. Next question.
How embarrassing.
So now
that's embarrassing.
You're on zero. You're on minus one. You're on one, Gordy. You could win this one, Gordy. Here we go. The next question. Who famously opened the Olympic Games of Berlin? Yes.
Hitler.
That's right, and he's back to nil. And so are you, Hoops. Next question.
Are you related to Hitler, Paul?
That's not politically correct,
yeah,
mate.
Yeah, Gordon.
All right, here we go.
Listen.
We're all distancing ourselves from that.
Oh, please.
Who became Prime Minister of Australia in 1983?
Paul.
Paul?
Bob Hawke.
Oh, now he's back to one. Here he comes. Here he comes.
And if your boss sacks you today, he's a bum.
All right, here we go. In what decade did Disneyland first open?
Paul?
Yes.
50s?
Yes, he's now on two. Oh. Here he comes for the vending machine.
My boomer.
All right, here we go.
How does he know the happiest place on earth when that opened?
Ah, that's good. I should give you a point for that.
You still haven't fixed yourself from your earlier indiscretion.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so if you get this one, Paul, you win. All right. What year was Benji Marshall born? He was Benji Marshall born.
Oops.
Yes.
1980.
What? And he'd be 40, would he? Honestly, mate. Honestly. Go home and run yourself a bath and have a lay down, all right?
Put some Epsom salts
honestly,
in there.
What? Put something in them. Benji's 40.
Put some gin in
you
there.
You are feeding him rain, man, aren't you? All right, you've only got to get one more, Paul. Just put this to bed, would you please? Okay. What is the cube root of 8?
Paul.
Yes, Paul.
Cube root.
Yes, the cube root of
2.
8. 2 is right, and he's done it again. He's won himself $15 to spend in the vending machine. Let's take a break.
I just had to get us out of our misery.
Oh, you totally did.
That was award-winning radio, Anthony.
Thanks to you, as Triple M rocks the footy. The Triple M Sunday Sydney. Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon. Triple M rocks footy. Welcome back to it. Our half-time Warriors lead Manly 26 points to 14. That score thanks to our mates at Tyre Power. What are they doing at the moment? Well, I'll tell you what, they're looking after tyres for school holidays. At Tyre Power, get $150 cash back on selected BF Goodrich tyres. And I should have mentioned, too, that the pub quiz, thanks to Macca's, the Monopoly game's back at Macca's and in full swing. McDonald's.com.au, thank you for the nuggies. You forgot the sauce today, but never mind. I can eat them without sauce. Just whack a little bit of salt and pepper on them, and as they say, is this a great country or what? Now, we have to update the poll. We have to update the poll here. The poll today, all four of us are absolutely think it's the greatest laughable thing in the history of the awful year the Broncos have had for those palookas to come out and have a gender reveal on the football field at full time in a game that they were handed the wooden spoon. Absolutely disgraceful. Are you against the gender reveal? Yes, you vote to say you are. Yes or no, you're okay with it. Triple M NRL Facebook page or at Triple M_NRL. Halftime Warriors 26, Manly 14. And the Warriors, gee, they, Paul, you mentioned that off air, that they get up and going and they're just beautiful to watch, aren't they, the Warriors?
Yeah, I tell you what, they just, when they get going, I love the way they play. We all do. But they're just so athletic, and even defensively, a couple of guys just manhandle the Manly team and pick them up and throw them around. And I tell you what, Nathan Brown, he's walking into a hell of a footy side next year. I think Todd Payton's done a magnificent job. He's really, I think just, yeah, I spoke to him the other day how he just simplified their defence a bit, changed a few things about the way they did things. The players all bought in, they believed in it. And I think that we're seeing the benefit of it. And I think Nathan Brown's walking into a club that's been really nicely set up for him.
Yeah, and Hoops, he's going to have that Adam Fanua Blake is, of course, going there now, along with a couple of those back rowers, one that just signed.
Ellie Katoa.
Yeah, signed long-term there. Couple of good halves that are playing well, and of course he'll have those wingers back, Fusatua and Harry Hysock, so Kenny Mamalo as well.
Fingers crossed, Anthony. Yes, yeah. Both of those blokes will be on deck next year. You touched on Ellie Katoa. Look, he's an outstanding emerging back rower. I think he's going to have a long and prosperous NRL career. But it's a big gig for Nathan Brown. He's obviously a friend of this program and the network because Todd Payton's done such a superb job in challenging circumstances. I think, is that right? He's won 8 games.
Yes, yeah, if he wins this one.
If they win today, like, that's a great result considering where they were and all the challenges. So, it's a big gig for Brownie next season. I'm sure he'll do well.
Okay, well, Paul, it's time for you to go so we can enjoy a little bit of happy hour with our happy meals from McDonald's.
My pleasure, Anthony.
Yeah, and, mate, we'll catch you on NRL 360.
Yes.
Discussing all matters pertinent to the NRL. Mm-hmm. You and the great Benny Eichen, he's my favourite on the show, and occasionally you pop into off the bench Hoops.
I'm surprised you're not trying to white it. Ben Eichen.
Well, I'm not in his league. He's a smart man. He's an ex-Origin. He's an Origin legend.
He is a very good man.
I don't try and white hand anyone, mate.
Yeah, he is a very good man, Benny Eichen.
Not publicly, anyway.
No, not publicly. I get home, and you know what I say at home. Actually, my wife's now said I've got a little window. While we're watching the news, I can badmouth anyone on the news or not off the news. That's my window. If I see something on the news, I can go them. Or if you pop in my head Hoops and I'll say, what about Hoops?
So what do you get? You get a little 30-minute
window? A little 30-minute
window
to just can anyone
I
want.
You must get some stuff off the chest.
It's like a bag of mixed lollies, mate.
She'd have a cauliflower ear by
now. Yeah. You guys absolutely cop it. Absolutely.
Do we?
Well, anyway, sadly for you, Paul, you have to go now.
All right. So I won't be here to defend myself.
No, that's right.
Okay,
so off you go. Your ears will be on fire. Hoops, you need to lift your game, mate. You just absolutely, I handed you that trivia quiz on a platter and you were absolutely awful.
89, grand final. Don't know what was going on,
and
mate.
You thought Benji Marshall was 62?
Yep. Benji, not born in 1980, on fire.
What we might have to do is dig up some more questions and just let you.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
Why don't we have a delay? Like, he gets 3 seconds to answer it.
Yeah.
And if he hasn't answered, then Gordon and I can come in.
Well, let's see how he goes with this one before you go,
What's
Paul?
What's that handicap system?
Give him 2 seconds before you jump in. Hoops, are you ready?
Yes, Anthony.
What street do you live in? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Sesame Street.
Where are the British crown jewels housed? Come on.
Oh, God.
Where are the British?
The Buckingham Palace.
No. Tower of London, mate, yeah. No. Back to Benji Marshall. He played for what club in the Super Rugby?
Auckland.
Auckland Blues is correct. So, you've been awful today, mate. But anyway, you've got an hour to go. You'll reveal. You'll.
That's right. We've got a couple right there.
Let's take a break and we'll come back with more as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.